Let's open our Bibles this morning to John chapter 3, the Gospel of John. Let's go to John chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 14 through 18, and I'm reading from the King James Version, but you can read along. It's good to read out loud. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And starting in verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, just to kind of bring us back to some of the lessons that we had before, if we're going to have faith for anything, then faith in God, let me say it that way, if we're going to have faith in God for something, then we need to know what his will is so that I can receive it. And I think that was the word that the Spirit of God said this morning through Audrey, that it's already been paid for. See, God doesn't see us the way we see ourselves. He sees us through the Word. And the Word has already stated that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us, the Gentile. So he sees us as being what? Redeemed, healed, prosperous. It says, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So as far as he's concerned, he sees the world as he paid the price for every sin that ever was or will be for every man, woman, or child. So it's already been paid for. Salvation has already been paid for. All they have to do is what? Receive it. That's all they have to do. And we know that's true. We didn't beg God to save us. We came and said, "Lord, I need you. I believe that you've paid the price for me. I believe you shed your blood for me and took my sins to hell. And on the third day, when justice was satisfied, you were raised from the dead. I accept you. I receive you." We didn't snibble and snot and cry and beg to be saved. What do? We reached out and accepted it and received it. Well, the same thing is true. Redemption is a complete package. It not only covers the sins of mankind, but it says also, I believe it says that yet when he said he was made poor so that we could be made rich or prosperous. And so in the area of prosperity, the area of healing, it's already been paid for. It was paid for in the death of Christ, in his suffering. And so all one needs to do is see that and know that it's the will of God, know that it's already been paid for. And once I know that, then I can have faith to do what? Receive it. And that's all we have to do is by faith reach out and do what? Take it. Take it by faith and say, "Thank you, Lord. I believe I received that." We didn't feel any different. We don't look any different. You can't tell you're saved. And if we had to wait to get to heaven to find out if we were, it'd be too late. It'd be way too late. So it's the same thing here. And sometimes we struggle sometimes because we can see that my body's not functioning properly. We can see my bank account. But you can't see on the inside of you what God has supernaturally done and changed your spirit. You can't see the Holy Ghost inside of you. It says we are the temple of the living God. You can't see that because it says that this incorruptible is hiding, or this corruptible is hiding the incorruptible on the inside. You can't see it. But by faith, we've received it. And that's all we need to do is, and my point in saying all of this is that where do we find the will of God? We find the will of God in the Word of God. And once we find the will of God, then we can be in a position to have faith to receive it. We can reach out and say, I'm going to take that. I use this example Wednesday. I think it bears repeating. If you were hungry and you said, I'm hungry, can I come over and eat? And I said, sure, come on over. And I fix you a big plate of ribs and fried chicken and collard greens or whatever country you're from, just whatever is salivating to you. And I put a big plate of that in front of you and I said, eat up. What do you do at that point? You're supposed to eat up, take it, because I'm giving it to you. And you sit there and whine and snibble and say, I'm hungry, give me some food. And I said, it's right in front of your face. Dig in. Receive it. And that's where we are a lot of times, is that God has put the dinner plate in front of us. He said, it's there. Now you take it. Receive it. And some of us are not receiving what's already been paid for. We've received salvation. And some of us have not taken all that God has already paid for and reached out and taken it and just received it. Now, when we receive something by faith, and I'll get over there, but let me just share this. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, and let's look at verse 1. It seems like that's what's in my heart to start this morning. Let's look at that particular scripture verse. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Of course, very, very familiar scripture. And I'll read this from the King James. It says, now faith is the substance. Well, if I said something had substance, that means it has some materiality or it has something that you can see. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It says the evidence. What's the evidence? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So faith is not the evidence of something I see. You wouldn't need faith if you see it. You'd already know it. I don't need faith for something that I can see. I need faith for something I can't see. You can't see God. You had to have faith to believe Him. You can't see your healing. You have to have faith to receive it. But you can have faith in something that God has authorized or God has paid for. And He said, here, take it. So I can have faith in God to fulfill that promise in my life. And so faith is the evidence of something that is not seen. Now, listen to these other translations, and I think it will help. Sometimes we read over the King James, and we just gloss over that. We've heard it so many times. And sometimes when you hear it in more of a modern English translation, it helps. This is the Weymouth translation. or Weymouth New Testament, it says, now faith is a well-grounded assurance of that for which we hope. It's a well-grounded, so we're using some other words other than substance. It's a well-grounded assurance of that for which we hope, and a conviction. See, faith is a conviction of the reality of things which we do not see. Faith is a conviction of the reality of things. So when we say, well, the reality, this piece of paper is the reality. No, faith is the reality of something that we don't see. See, faith becomes the reality of something that I can't see. How can I say that? Because God has already paid for it. So healing for him has already been paid for. Healing is real. Prosperity is real. Salvation is real. That's reality. God's word is reality. So my faith in that is the reality of something I can't see, and faith brings it over into this realm that you can see, causes it to come into manifestational reality. Now, this is the New Living Translation. It says, faith is the confidence. This is another word, confidence, that what we hope for will actually happen. I like that. It says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things that we can't see. Faith gives us an assurance of things we can't see, and it's a conviction of what? In other words, it's a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. That's faith. That's the New Living Translation. Now, listen to this particular version. This is I really like this. This is the New Century Version. It's another modern English. You can look these up, Bible Gateway or BibleStudyTools.com. All of these versions are available. Or if you've got a mobile phone, you've got YouVersion, you've got all of these various Bible versions are available. This is the New Century Version. Faith means being sure of the things we hope for, now listen to this, and knowing that something is real even if we do not see it. Well, I like that. Knowing that something is real even though I don't see it. Faith, it means being sure of the things we hope for. I'm sure it's coming to pass. Why? Because God has promised it. He's already paid for it. He said, take it. So I'm sure it's coming to pass. So my faith in God is causing this to come to pass. It's my hope or my expectation it's coming to pass. God's already promised it. So I have faith in that, and I've released my faith. And it also says, and it knows that something is real even if we don't see it. I like that. This is the New International Version. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is certain of something we don't see. This is the Bible in basic English. I'm giving you a few here. I could give you more, but these are a few. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the sign, what's the sign? Faith is. Faith is the sign that the things not seen are true. See, the things not seen are true. What's true? Healing's true. I don't see it. See? And it's faith. It says, and the sign. What's the sign? My faith is the sign of something not seen being true. So my faith is the conviction, the assurance. It's called the well-grounded assurance, the confidence, the surety of something that I can't see. And that faith comes about by what? Knowing what the will of God is. And so when we know that, then we can have an assurance for that. And as we've shared, there's a lot of things that you can't see, but you believe. There are things, the Bible says your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, you can't see the Lamb's Book of Life, but you believe it. He said he's gone to prepare a place for you. You believe that. You shout, we shout hallelujah. Have you seen your mansion in heaven? No. Unless you've been there and come back. But you're shouting hallelujah. God's prepared me a place. So your faith in that, just that word that he's expressed, you're expecting to see something. When you leave here, if Jesus tarries and you leave your body and go to heaven, say, all right, where's my mansion? You said so. I'm expecting it. And I believe it even though I don't see it. Right? Well, it's true. And why don't we have the same kind of conviction for something that's given or provided concerning our money or lack of it, or our health or lack of it? Why not the same? I'll tell you why. Because the devil works real hard at telling us things and saying things to us because we can feel it. And again, it's back to what you can see, what you can feel, what you can taste. We're subject to these passions in the body, things that we can touch, see, smell, and feel. And so bottom line is that when we're subject to those things, a lot of times they have more reality than what we can't see. And what I'm sharing today is that when you get the Word of God, the seed, like what we were talking about, when you get the seed of God's Word and you keep planting and you keep planting and you keep watering and you keep confessing and you keep thinking on the Word of God, that which you don't see becomes more real than what you see. It becomes bigger inside of you. And so when somebody says, you can't, you say, glory to God, I can. I can do that. Why? Because God's Word says so, and it's big inside of me that I can. See, when the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that becomes bigger on the inside. Not just by reading it, but it's the deposit of God's Word. It's the deposit of this seed that keeps being planted, and over time, what happens? It begins to bring up shoots. It begins to bring up things out of the ground of the Spirit in your heart, and those things that you see in the natural that you can't do, or things that you can't accomplish in the natural, like using a little nail file. You understand what I mean? You go, oh, no, I can do that. Let me just poke around here. I got it. I'm in. And that becomes bigger on the inside. So somebody telling you you can't, you just go, can't. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I don't know how, but he's going to guide me. He's going to show me. And I can do it. I can get out of debt. I can get out of sickness and disease that they say can't be. Well, what does can't mean when God has said he healed all? Well, I don't fit into can't because he said all were healed. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. He took mine. That's part of all. And so man says you can't. You can't live, you can't, you'll have to live with this the rest of your life. And you go, not me. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm redeemed from those things that are subject to the devil. See, that's being a slave to bondage. And that is a bondage. Being poor is a bondage. Being sick and having to live with something is a bondage. But I've been freed from that bondage. Now, being free comes with what? Not just hearing it. See, because somebody could be in bondage and you hear it and you go, yeah, that's nice. I'd love to be. I'm glad for you. I'm really glad for you, but I'm stuck. See, I never went to high school. I'm not educated, so I can't. Well, for you, you won't be able to. See, if you think an education is what you need to be a millionaire, well, we can go through history. We can go through history and pull name after name after name after name of individuals that had no high school education, that God gave insight and visions and things, and are millionaires. Gave them an idea. Yeah, they paid for people to do what the rest of it they needed done. And I'm not saying that an education is wrong. I'm just saying don't look at that as your God. See? Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. So we need to have that in our thinking and that in our mouth, that nothing is impossible. Turn over to 2 Timothy. For a moment, we're going to Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Very familiar scripture verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And this particular scripture verse here, in the King James, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and what? Of a sound mind." Now, if you look up the word fear, and this is the word, you can look it up, you know, again, if you look up any of these online tools, you can look it up and you click a button, it'll show you what it means in the Hebrew or Greek. But the word fear also means timidity. And it bears that out in some of the modern translations. The New Living Translation said, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline." The Good News Translation says, "For the Spirit of God for the Spirit that God has given us does not make us timid." For the Spirit that God has given us does not make us timid. Instead, His Spirit fills us with power, love, and self-control. God's Word translation said God didn't give us a cowardly spirit or a timid spirit. What am I saying? We need to do what? We need to be bold where God is concerned. Those things that He has provided for us, we need not say, well, you know, no, we need to reach out and take what God has already given us and provided. It'd be no different if you went on a job and they said, okay, we're going to pay you, and you go, you waiting for your paycheck, and you go, well, if they want to pay me, no, you'd be, where's my money? Where's my money, honey? Where is it? You wouldn't be timid about it either. You'd be on the phone, human resources or your boss or somebody saying, look, I put in my first week, where's my money? And we wouldn't be mealy mouth or timid about it. Or if you had an insurance policy and you knew what it meant, what the provisions were, you wouldn't sit back. You'd take advantage of the provisions. And we would. And so we need to not walk in timidity. Why? Because God has already provided things for us, and we need to reach out. We're not. Sometimes what can happen is, through just centuries of teaching, we have, well, you know, whatever God wills. Well, how would you know what His will is? It sounds kind of mysterious. Well, whatever God wills for me, then, you know, we'll just wait and see. And whatever happens, that must have been the will of God. Really? So that means if I died and went to hell, that was the will of God? So anything that happens, it must have been the will of God. See, no, I don't think so, because the Scripture says that He doesn't want any to perish. I believe in 2 Peter, it's not His will that any would perish. So He's already provided healing, He's already provided salvation, He's already provided prosperity for us. And so we don't need to wait to see what the will of God is and see what happens. And most times people are going by what they see and not what they believe. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. So walking by faith means that I know what the will of God is and I can have faith for that. And I'm confident that it's His will and I can reach out and receive it. I'm not taking something. You know, it's almost comical when you think about it. How can you take something from God? That's almost comical. You can receive and reach out and take or receive something that's been given you. If I said, here's $100, and you go, oh, no, that's okay. No, you do what? You'd reach out and take it and say, what, thank you. And then what happens? Do you just stick it in your pocket and go, I got this 100 here? No. Every one of you would be saying, glory. I got 100. I got $100 I didn't have before. And what are you doing? You're thinking about what? Where am I going to spend this money? So you're acting based on what you got. Now, the only difference between that and something God has promised is that faith believes and is assured that it has what God has promised. And it says what? What we read over here. That's what I like, that particular scripture verse. In the New Century Version, it says, faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing that something is real even if we don't see it. See, now I can see the $100, but I can't see healing. But it's already been provided. He just says, reach out and take it. So how do? I just reach out by faith and I say, Father, thank you for the healing that I've just received in my body. Or I thank you for that extra $50 a week or $100 a week. I thank you for that. No different than what we're doing. God has prompted us to call in $80,000 a week. It doesn't matter whether it comes in or not. We're expecting it to come in. And faith knows that it's real even when we don't see it, you see. Now, it's important to get God's direction as to what to believe for in certain areas. And because He knows where your faith is, what your faith level is, what you can believe for. And so, God, I believe that my body's healed. I call it healed. And you need to walk in that and thank Him for it and act like it is done. Act as if it's done and talk like it's been done. Because if it is, I can tell you, every one of you, if you got a raise or a bonus, you be on the phone talking with folks, I just got this bonus that's way out beyond what I even expected. And man, I'm going on a cruise, I'm buying a new car, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, whatever that is, you're on the phone talking. You're telling people based on something. Now, you haven't received it yet in your hand. You haven't got the bonus yet, but all you got was a phone call or a slip, and as far as you're concerned, is done. I got it. Because I believe they're going to give it to me. And you already got it spent, and you told your friends where you're going, and you don't have the money yet. Isn't that true? I mean, we all have done that. I have. We're already in Cancun or Mexico on a cruise ship, on a plane ride to Paris or somewhere. We there. But I haven't got two nickels from that money yet. Right? It's the truth. But now, why can't we do that where God's concerned? You know why? I'll tell you why. It's very simple. Because what you see is bigger than God's word. It's true. That which you see is bigger, it's larger than God's word. See, because if God's word were bigger, you'd look at that and go, I already got it. I already have it. And you're not moved by what you see, by what you hear. The doctor could come up and say whatever he says. And he did give you a report. But who's going to believe the report of the Lord? See? And when we believe that, and it's so large on the inside, that words don't affect us. The words, that report doesn't affect us. You can't have that doesn't affect you. You can't do that doesn't affect you. And they could be very serious, and they could be right. Based on the natural circumstances and what all of the tests or whatever proves and shows, it may be absolutely in the natural true. But this word trumps it because this word supersedes man's word. This word has been bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. This word supersedes that. And when it gets that big and large, you just look at people and say, well, thank you. Appreciate your word. Appreciate it. But I got a bigger word. I got a different report. And they go, really? What report have you got? I got a report from the Lord that says, I can have it. I'm not going to die. I'm going to live. I'm not going broke. I'm not going bankrupt. I'm not going bankrupt. I'm going to make it. And that's, you know, if you notice in the world, people that know they're bigger and greater, they don't have to woof and make a lot of noise, do they? To prove that they're bigger and more stronger. They don't have to. Now, let's turn over to Mark 11. Well, before you go there, go to Mark 9:23. Let's look at that first. Mark 9 and verse 23. You know these scriptures. And Jesus saith unto him, and of course we're talking, and this is you know the story. This is how the man brought his son who was possessed, and the disciples couldn't cast him out. And so in verse 20 it says, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, because I'm the Son of God, all things are possible. No, it didn't say that. It said, if you can believe, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things. See, that would have been the perfect time for Jesus to say, well, I'm the Son of God, and I'm the only one that can take care of this. It didn't say that. Because we know there's other scriptures that say he emptied himself and became like us, even though he was sinless and from heaven and he was God. It says here, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The New International Version says, everything, say everything. Everything is possible for him who believes. Everything. The Good News Translation says, everything is possible for the person who has faith. I like that. Everything is possible for the person who has faith. This is a Good News Translation. So that means if everything, that means all-inclusive, nothing excluded, does it? If everything means all, then that means nothing excluded. That means everything. So whatever you can think of, see, that it can be received by faith. All things are possible. So when people go down this road and they say, well, you know, when you get older, you know, you can expect that things aren't going to work right and you're going to be this and that. Now, yet we do, the scripture is very clear, we live in a body that's been corrupted by sin. So if you live long enough here, yeah, we're going to die. We don't have to die sick, though. We don't have to die with disease. Now, we may not move as fast as we did when we were 20. But I know the Bible is full of accounts where they just laid down and gave up the ghost. We don't have to, and that's happened today. People just at 105, 110, they just lay down, go to sleep. Not on medicine. Not senile. Sharp. My parents told me they would visit a woman. She was 105. She would come and tell them what's going on. They'd come and she'd have the paper and tell them all what's going on, sharp as a tack. Said my parents told me she was not on any medicine. None. Just aged, you know? Not senile, not imbecilic. So today, we release words. We're buying into what the world is saying that you have to be when you get this age. I'm not under their covenant. I'm not subject to their rules. I'm not subject to the God of this world. I'm subject to the God that had Jesus pay for my covenant package. We call it my benefits package. See? And so I need to do what? Just as the Holy Ghost said, I need to accept that, receive it, and talk like it. And speak it, which is really what they did in the Old Covenant. They talked it with their children and their children's children, and they would tell them what God had done for them. And they walked in it, unless they disobeyed. You see. Turn to Matthew 18, 18. We'll get over to Romans, but first turn to Matthew 18, 18. When this dawns on our heart, we will not walk in bondage. We will not. We'll know who we are in Christ. Matthew 18, 18. It says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now let's read these from some modern translations, the Good News translation. And so I tell all of you what you prohibit on earth. This is not talking about what God is doing. This is talking about what we're doing. And if you, and most of our Bibles have red letters. So that means Jesus is speaking. What you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven. And what you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. This is the Message Bible. Take this most seriously. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. A no on earth is a no in heaven. The New Living Translation. I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. How many have heard this before? Because I have. How many have heard, it must have been God's will? It seems He allowed this to happen. How many have heard people say, God must be allowing this to happen. There must be a purpose in it. I've spent, in this church, I spent 12 lessons teaching and literally going through looking at scripture after scripture, 12 lessons to this point. And I had a longtime member walk up to me after a lesson and say to me, very serious. He said, you know, there are times God allows us to suffer. I said, really? I said, okay. I said, now I'm not talking about somebody out in the world. I'm talking about a person that has sat in this congregation in Nanuet for years. And you're teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching years, not just me, Pastor Clinton, Pastor Sarah, all of this. And they said, well, you know, sometimes, it was very serious, sometimes God allows us to suffer. I said, okay, really? I said, the Bible does say that we will suffer persecution for the word's sake. That is true. But I don't read anywhere, sir, where it says that we are to suffer sickness and disease for a purpose. What would be the purpose in that of God sending His Son here to die for sickness and disease? And we can go through the Old Testament and look at all of the scriptures where Himself took. Surely He hath borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. We read right here in John. It says right here. I said, in John, it says, we just read it this morning, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever looks shall be. So I said, so now what can you give me? What would be the purpose of us suffering with a sickness? I said, no. I said, you need to just reach out and take and receive what's already been given. You just need to take it and receive it. So we've heard that, but here's my point. We just read Matthew 18:18. God allows what you allow. So yeah, He is allowing sickness in your life. You know why? Because you're allowing it. So when a person makes that statement, it is a very accurate statement. Yes, God is allowing suffering in your life. And they go, yep, see, that's what I've been trying to tell you. Absolutely. He is allowing it. And you bring them right over to Matthew 18:18, and you show them here, whatever you prohibit on earth is prohibited in heaven, and what you permit on earth is permitted in heaven. God is bound by His word to permit sickness in your life. Why? Because you're permitting it. And you're not receiving what He's already paid for. And you're not twisting God's arm. I'm taking it. Well, you're not taking anything from God. He's already said it's already done. It's finished. All you have to do is take it. Now, if you don't believe it, then all things aren't possible to you who doesn't believe. And you are allowing it or permitting it, and God, by His Word, has to permit it. He has to permit sickness in your life. Does everybody get that? You see it? And I never saw that until I started teaching this lesson that I've heard people say, you know, God has this mysterious way that He just, this unknown way about God, He's allowing sickness to prove something. Well, He is allowing it because you are. You're permitting it. It's no different that if you permit the insurance company, if you allow them not to pay your benefits, they'll oblige you. They'll oblige you. If you don't do anything about it, they won't. And so we need not allow or permit things that have already been paid for, because God will. He'll allow it. He'll permit it. And people are getting angry at God, saying, God, why are you allowing me to suffer? And I've heard folks, and of course I know some that work in the medical profession, they see families who are just upset at God. People are in pain, suffering, literally suffering in pain. And they are asking God, why are you allowing my wife or my husband to suffer in pain? Well, because you are. And that's strong, but that's the Bible. God is allowing it because you're allowing it. And He has to. God can't do whatever He wants to do. He's bound by His Word. Because if He could, then He could save people or not save them, depending on just how He felt. And the Bible says that Jesus paid for the sins of all mankind. And we just got done reading in John. I mean, it's very clear. Because if we can apply the same rules for this, we can apply the same rules for salvation. It says right here, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. All they got to do is believe. He can't just say, I know they don't believe, but I'm going to save them anyways. No, it doesn't say that. He lets people go off to hell because they didn't believe. And He has to. And it says right here, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So the same things apply where the will of God is concerned. The will of God is concerned for salvation. The will of God is unfolded and revealed in Scripture for healing and prosperity. If we don't believe it, the Scripture says these signs will follow them that doubt. No, it says these signs will follow them that believe. And so when we believe, we take, we receive. And so, that's the requirement. That's what the Scripture says. Now, is anybody hooking up with this today? Are you all, you're there?
Yep.
You're going home?
Yep.
You awake?
Yep.
Okay. I just checking. Because I may go over and sit down next to you and nudge you, see if you're awake. Don't recall, right? Brother Hagin used to do that. He'd come down and people would be nodding out and he'd be standing right in front of them like this. It's like, wake! Yeah, they just, hey! It's like, oh my God. He'd get excited about the Word. Let's turn over to Mark 11. And we'll get over to Romans. Not today, it'll be next time. Mark 11, 22. The Spirit of God is nudging us to reach out and to take some things and to set our sights higher and not to live in this level of thinking and believing that we're in. He's wanting us to stretch and reach out and look at things in a perspective that nothing is impossible with God to those who believe. Mark 11:22, it says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever," that's all inclusive, "whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass." So it's important that we not just believe in our heart, but we believe that those things which we say shall come to pass. "He shall have whatsoever," that sounds like all things to me, "are possible. He saith, therefore I say unto you." Now, what things soever you desire. That's whatsoever again. "What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you do what? Receive them, and you shall have them." Now here's a good example right here. What comes first? Believing you receive them, or believing you have them? Huh? Right. So we don't, it says, if you believe you receive them, you shall have them. So we don't believe that we have them, then we believe we receive. You wouldn't need to believe you have it. You'd know it. You already have it. I don't need to believe I have a glass. I got a glass. That would be silly. I don't need to believe for a pair of shoes. I got a pair of shoes on. Or whatever that is. So I don't believe to have something and then believe to receive it. I need to believe that I receive it first. And then the scripture is very clear. It says, if you do, it says, you shall have it. Now, that particular word, if you look up the word receive in the concordance, this is a Greek word. I'm not going to try. I'll spell it for you. But even that is not necessarily what's important. Sounds like a nice Italian word, but it's Greek. It's lambano, L-A-M-B-A-N-O. Its meaning means to take. So to receive, it says, what things soever you desire, you believe to receive it. The Greek word is to take. That's what it means. It means to take something. So when we see here, when we say, believe that you take them. See what I mean? That's what the Greek word means. It means to take. Now, this is what I like. Some of the description, it means to take as one's own possession. To take, receive, to lay hold of. It means to take as one's own possession. If I give you $100 bill, you take that as your own possession. I'm giving that to you, and you take it as your own. That's exactly what the scripture is saying here. It says we are to believe that we receive or take it as mine. God is giving you and provided prosperity and healing. You are to take as yours. So if I take healing as mine, then I'm not wondering at this point. I've just taken something, And my faith believes that now I've received it, and it's real, even though I don't see it. Faith knows that it's real, even though I don't see it. How does that come? That comes by feeding on the Word of God, reading the promises of God, showing you from Scripture that it's God's will to heal you. And of course, the past lessons, we did that. So, receiving means to take. Now, turn over quickly to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy, right after Thessalonians, 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now, the word lay hold is the same exact Greek word that's used for receive. Same word. Well, it's a derivative of it. Fight the good fight of faith. Take, receive, lay hold on eternal life. See, we're not. It's not passive. It's to be assertive. It's to eternal life has been given to us. We have to do what? Reach out and take it and lay hold on it. Lay hold of it. And that's. That's the point. That's the scripture that we wanted to look at. Now, here's a scripture verse. Let's go over here to, just have a few minutes left. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. You've already been set free. You've already been redeemed from the curse of the law. And what are we supposed to do? Galatians 5, 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So you've been set free, you've received and taken eternal life, you've received it. This says here, stand fast, what? Therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. That word stand fast means to persist, to persevere, to stand firm. We're to stand firm, we're to persevere, we're not to give up, we're not to be timid, as we read in that scripture verse. Christ has not given us the spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We're to stand fast in the liberty wherewith we've been set free. Now, listen to some of the modern translations here. I mean, it's exciting to me. The Good News translation is this. It says, freedom is what we have. Christ has set us free. Stand then as free people and do not allow yourselves to become slaves again. Slaves to sickness and disease. Slaves to poverty. It says here, do not allow yourselves to become slaves again. Listen to God's Word translation. Christ has freed us. I like this translation. Listen up closely to this. Everybody awake? Because, you know, sometimes, and I say it that way because this can mean the difference between bondage or freedom. Christ has freed us so that we may enjoy the benefits of freedom. He has freed us so that we can enjoy the benefits of freedom. There's no purpose in suffering for Him. He came and suffered for us in our place so that we don't have to. We are to serve Him. We are ministers of reconciliation. We are to go out and preach the gospel so that those that believe can be set free, not suffer. So this says, Christ has freed us so that we may enjoy the benefits of freedom. Now listen to this. Therefore, be firm in this freedom and don't become slaves again. That's God's word translation. Don't become slaves again. Enjoy the benefits of our benefits package. This is the Message translation. Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. Never let anyone ever put a harness of slavery on you. What does that mean? That means you can't, you'll never achieve this, you won't be able to own this, you can't live, you're going to have to live with this. Never let, and I'll say it this way, never let any man or woman in any profession be the final word in your life. Never, ever let any man or woman in any professional capacity be the final word in your life. Stand firm in the liberty and the freedoms that we've been given. And never let anyone ever put a harness of slavery on you ever again. You are freed from bondage of sickness and disease. You're freed people. And we're redeemed. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm free. I'm redeemed. And when that becomes bigger on the inside, you will never, ever be subject to bondage. Ever. You'll never be subject to what a man or woman says to you. You never will. You just smile and say thank you. Thank you. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. And smile and go on. And that's the thing. You just smile and say thank you. And they'll say, something wrong with that person. They're in denial. Yeah, I am. Yeah, I am in denial from your words. That's right. You got that right. That part you got right. Yeah. Let's turn over to Romans. Let's close with this scripture. Romans chapter 15. Somebody's getting something out of this today. If you're not, I am. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Faith doesn't worry. Faith does not worry. And faith does not worry about money. Faith does not worry about what the doctor said. Faith does not worry. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Everybody there? You getting there? Okay, this is the King James Version. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. And what does it say? In believing, that you may abound in hope. How? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to read some other translations. Listen to this. This is a New International Version. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. See? As we trust in Him, He's going to fill us with all joy and peace. Not sadness and worry. Because we said, God has not given us the spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This says here, now the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. Now listen, this is the New International. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So how are we going to overflow with hope and joy and peace? It's going to be in our faith, in our trusting, and it's by the Holy Ghost. See, this is spiritual. This isn't something like, you know, we work out, I'm full of joy, I'm joy, 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 and I'm working something up. Yeah, that, but I'm saying, when we're in faith, it's by the power of God. Faith releases the power of God in us, and it causes joy and peace and an overflowing hope that I got it. It's more real in me. That you can't work up. That's the Holy Ghost. You see. Now listen to this. This is the J.B. Phillips translation. It says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in your faith. Now listen to this. That by the power of the Holy Spirit, your whole life and outlook may be radiant with hope. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My whole life and outlook is radiant with hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah. So if somebody says you can't, you go, I'm not. See ya. Goodbye. Actually, your whole outlook will be so radiant, it will draw people. You'll be like a magnet because everybody else is in the dumper. And your whole outlook, that's what this says, your whole life and outlook may be radiant with hope. How's that? By the power of the Holy Ghost. Your whole outlook shows it. It's what you see, what you talk, what you think. In my thinking is not I can't. In my thinking is I'm an overcomer. But you can't. I'm an overcomer. God says so. You see. This is God's word translation. May God, the source of hope, fill you with joy and peace through your faith in Him. Then you will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, this is not a natural thing. This is a spiritual thing. And it's spiritual because faith is spiritual. Faith knows that something is real even though I don't see it. And so I have faith in the intangible. I have faith in something I can't see that's been promised in the Word of God. And through that, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to cause all joy and peace in my life and an overflowing radiance in me of hope. It says, my whole life and outlook may be radiant with hope. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. Nothing. No thing. Nothing's impossible. So when your mind and your body is telling you it ain't gonna work, ain't working. Yeah, it is. The power of God's working in me now. The power of God is working in me. It's working in me and driving the sickness and disease out. The power of God is working in my behalf and causing money to come and doors to open up and opportunities for me to make money. See, now, if you don't believe that, you won't be bothered with it. And you won't get any. You won't reap the benefits. See, it's back to you won't reap the benefits that have been provided. It's to those who believe. And I choose to believe. I'm going to choose to believe and live in the benefits that have been provided. Praise God. I think I'm finished for today, and we'll pick up another time. But I believe that this is what the Spirit of God wanted to at least begin to get out this morning and begin to share it. I believe that folks are going to grab hold of this and walk in it and live in it and not be subject to their circumstances anymore. Not going to be subject to it. I'm not putting a harness of slavery on me. Or as the Scripture talks about, a yoke of bondage. Not doing that. Too much has been paid so that we can be free and walk in that freedom. Praise God. And live a joyful, peaceful, blessed life. Amen. Praise God.